final half hour of the program, the fourth quarter, or what we've got of it today. We've got to get out of here a little bit early today because of KU pregame. KU and Monmouth, epic clash. I know the guys on the zone have a little wager on, basically they went through a whole bunch of wagers on KU and K-State against Monmouth. Who would have more of this or that with spreads? Good stuff is good radio. If you missed it, go to 810WHB.com. Check out the podcast page. You can also get it at the 810 app. Same thing for anything you missed here in the program. Coordinators today up at the podium. One exchange today came with questions about Damian Williams. PR department came out, said Damian Williams. They listed who wasn't practicing, Ogba, Okafor, and Blake Bell. And they said Damian Williams is excused. A question was asked by Sam McDowell if Williams would be good to go on Monday night.
Yes, I do.
Well, he's excused today, so that's why we're asking.
Oh, well, I'm not going to talk about his personal whatever. So that's not for me to discuss. You guys can have that conversation with the head coach.
We don't know when he's coming back. Yeah, that's why we're asking. Is he going to be back game time on Monday?
Well, I would leave that up to the head coach. You guys can, my job is to coordinate the offense.
Our job is to ask.
Yes. You good with that, bro?
Well, thanks, coach, first of all. I try. Listen, this is one, like, you know, I don't get it. I do care. I hope there's nothing wrong in the man's family. I wish no ill will towards anyone. But the point is not, like, we want to know where he's at. What family issue does he have that he's having to take care of? That's not it. Do you have a vibe on if he's going to go Monday? It's a legitimate question.
And an easy one. Wasn't complicated.
I think he does feel confident he's going to play because he seems shocked by the question. I was texting back and forth, Sam McDowell and I, who you hear here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We were texting back and forth, and he's like, you know, he said it was like, you know, Sam's like, he thought it was like an absurd question. I said, well, absurd or is like, I kind of felt like he was surprised. Like, what do you, like, why wouldn't he be there? I'm like, well, he's excused. Like, did you miss him? Did you not know this? So it's kind of bizarre. Again, no ill will if he's going to play. Great. Right. People have personal lives. They leave their jobs. They got to do it. It's reality. I got it. But it was just kind of an odd little exchange there. And he's like, oh, you got to ask the head coach about that. Well, okay, well, they'll do that tomorrow. But, you know, I don't know. I was just a little bit surprised. And, look, right. I think Eric Bieniemy has grown as an offensive coordinator a lot. I will tell you that last year, no way should he be a head coach. No way. He was definitely not ready, and I wondered whether he would ever be ready. I think he's been a lot better. He handled that with humor.
Yeah.
You know, he clearly doesn't want to answer that question. I think that's ridiculous, but I think those are the orders from above. Mm. So the man is a soldier following orders. I get it. I have no disrespect for it. And he handled it really well. I think it's a stupid order.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he's going to handle it, he handled it well, and head coaches have to be able to handle things like that well, and he did.
And it's the second time in 3 weeks that he's done that. I mean, I'm Eric Bieniemy. I'm the offensive coordinator, and Reed's the head coach. I mean, that's twice he's been able to kind of use the sense of humor and that smile that he has to kind of ward off that. But, I mean, it is a basic question. I mean, it's what do you think? I don't need to tell me what you think. I'm not sure.
So, you know, listen, I don't even know that you got to be truthful. Lie to me like you guys usually do, which is not lying because they got to protect the interests of the football team. But tell me, oh, yeah, he's going to be ready. So they burn time preparing for him. Like, you know, he actually kind of left it like, well, I don't know. Okay, I guess we'll ask Andy Reid tomorrow. Let's move on to Steve Spagnuolo. He was asked, as we know, the defense did not play well against the run. 225 on the ground, this after three consecutive games against teams that have been at least average, but really better than average, at running the ball, at least running the ball when they want to run the ball. Packers will put it in the air so their rushing totals aren't big, but when they want to run the ball, they run it well. Vikings have the NFL's leading rusher. Broncos have been a pretty good running team, and the Chiefs limited those three teams to 98 yards per game on the ground. They gave up 225 against the Titans, and there was different personnel. Yes, Frank Clark came back, but that meant Pinnell was inactive. He'd done a pretty good job stuffing the run. We talked about that with Seth Kizer earlier this week. Ragland didn't play much. Colin Saunders got only 13 snaps. Spagnuolo asked why these players didn't play as much as they did against the Vikings when they played the Titans.
Reggie is dictated a little bit by what they put in. I'm going to mix my teams now because I'm watching all Chargers stuff, and they have a lot of three wideouts. I want to say that Tennessee did the same thing. My guess is with the Reggie situation, that's exactly what it was. The other thing with the, when you said Colin and Damien, yeah, we did go. There was another package that we had in that was a little bit different. It was for some coverage reasons. So we changed up there. And then they dictated what we were going to be in package-wise just by what they put in. So that's probably why that happened. It wasn't, there was no have different guys in for, there was no reason, rhyme or reason for it. It just worked out that way.
Pinnell was inactive, though, so that was...
Yeah, well, that would take care of that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes, but the decision, I mean, to just follow up on what Adam was talking about, I mean, he had been really good on the inside, but maybe surprised by how well they ran the ball, because it seems like the guys that had been really good runs.
Yeah, I don't know if it was as much the guys that were in there as, you know, I probably could have, when we looked at it over, when it was all said and done, felt like we could have called a few more run pressures that might have helped us. So that's not them, that's me. When we got down to the DX and activation and talked about it, I think what we decided was that Joey Ivey, should we have had an injury, plays a little bit of the dime rush stuff. So he gave us a little bit of an edge there. So we ended up going in that direction.
You know, honest. It's honest. By the way, about not remembering. Listen, I couldn't remember who the hell they played last week at one point. I was like, what the hell was it? Was it when the Vikings? Who was it? Because we were thinking about the Chargers and different things. It's the Titans, of course. So, you know, I know some people might try to blow that up. Oh, God, what do you mean he can't remember?
No, that's no big deal.
I don't think that's a big deal. But the part that scared me, and I literally had the term in my head, nails on a chalkboard, what they did dictated Ragland not playing.
Mm-hmm.
How much did that make you want to wet your pants?
Yeah, that I didn't like. And the secondarily, taking into the account who might get hurt and who would be better in that spot, to me, I think you play with who you assume you're going to be okay, who's the best guy. And if you get hurt, that happens. But, I mean, Joey Ivey didn't even play in the game, I don't think. I mean, maybe he did, but, I mean, I would have had the guy who had the best chance of being good, not who had the most – you know, versatility if you lost someone.
They're in the get-it-right business. Ultimately, this team is going to be judged on getting it right in the postseason. So if they're sacrificing some things here to experiment and try different things to get the right combination for the stretch run and ultimately for the postseason, I'm okay with that. So we'll see, you know, if they can get it right like that coming down the stretch. But, again, that dictate them dictate. Yeah. We heard that from Bob Sutton all the freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. That's why Justin Houston was in coverage. Well, their formation dictated. Stop letting them dictate to you what you're doing.
Exactly.
And I thought we got a really good answer from Steve Spagnuolo on this. I mean, I don't know that I necessarily love all of it, but I think it's real. And it's something to keep in mind. I asked Spagnuolo what determines which side of the ball can dictate to the other as to what they do.
Well, to me, in all the years I've been doing this, it's you can dictate it a little bit if you are more successful on first down. Then you get them behind schedule. That's when you can do the dictating. If they stay on schedule, which feels like they made emphasis of doing that, then it makes it a little bit tough for us to dictate to them. And that one particular drive I'm thinking about, that's kind of what they did. And so kudos to them.
You know, if you're in third and one, you got to come with your big people, right? If you're in third and nine, you can come with your pass rush, and you can bring them in a lot of different spaces. You can drop back, play underneath coverage. You know, I get it. That's real. That's honest. It's not what we want to hear. But you have personnel that's done they got to get on the field when they're running it down your throat. They have to get on the field. And as much as we've kind of gotten away from talking about corner as a need position because their coverage has been good, I do wonder, do they continue to sacrifice the run, because the run can't give up the huge play, do they continue to sacrifice their best run defense in an effort to make sure they don't get beat for the big strike over the top? And if he had more corners or higher, you know, pure cover corners, could he dictate more to the opposition what he wants to do? I don't know. But I know this. I know they've got to find a way to take away the run. They were better when they were stopping the run. And I think, you know, and I'm going to audible a little bit here, Jed. Get me 23. I think the hand may be played for him. As you know, Colin Saunders and Derek Nnadi and Pinnell have done a nice job on the inside. Well, they lost Ogba. Chris Jones slid between the two spots against the Vikings. He would seemingly have to play more defensive end. Is he going to be exclusively a defensive end? I hope not. I think there are times you want him at D-tackle in obvious passing situations. But I think there are times that he's going to need, particularly in the base, you got to get your four best guys out there. Listen, offensive coordinators have no problem saying, I need the five best linemen out there. We'll put them wherever they can fit best, but the five best guys got to go out there on the field. And I don't know that they aren't at that point right now as a defensive line. I asked Spagnuolo what he thinks, what he's seen, what he's looking at when he sees Chris Jones out playing defensive end.
Listen, guy's a good football player, so we feel like we can put him in both spots. It's a little bit challenging, I think, from the we're putting a lot on his plate from a mental standpoint. He's been a tackle forever and did that all the way through. And if you remember, he was not here in the OTA, so it was training camp. And then asking him to go out there, he's great at doing it. He's more than willing. He's just got to fight through a little bit of the volume of the mental part of it.
Twice he's brought up training camp, missing training camp, missing OTAs. Just being honest or sending a message?
He's normally I would say he's sending a message, but he's pretty honest. So I maybe a little bit of each. I'm going to lean towards an honest assessment.
Okay. I think it is honest. I think it's fair, but he's said it a couple of times. It's almost kind of like, hey, remember this guy wasn't there for us in those days. And I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
Some accountability. I mentioned all along, this is not the time for Chris Jones to be holding out. He's a year early on a holdout. We know what the business of the NFL is. It is a business, first and foremost, and there's a time and a place to try to get more money. It was not where he was. That time is next year for Chris Jones. But he went ahead and did it anyway. And I'm okay. This may be the one time. Maybe it's just an honest assessment, or maybe one guy is at least finally publicly holding one of these guys accountable. Either way, I'm interested. 10 men were on the field for the last touchdown. Spagnuolo talked about this, where it was and everything that was going on. He said, well, we thought they were going to change personnel. They didn't. We got caught. Our mistake. My bad. My mistake. I appreciate him owning it. But seemingly it would seem like at some point somebody on the field might want to think about it, see it, and maybe end up calling a timeout. I asked Tyrann Mathieu today if he was aware that they were a man short on that play.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at the time. But obviously, I don't really know what happened with them shuffling players in and out. But we were in one, we were in one personnel, and I think they switched, and then we tried to match it. And I think that just goes to leadership and guys on the sideline keeping everybody into the game.
I don't know that we know. I think Spagnuolo may have sent the right people in, and he's just fallen on that one, and somebody screwed up. A lot of people think it was Frank Clark that was supposed to be out there because he was on the sideline with it. Hell, Frank Clark may have been the guy who figured it out, wasn't supposed to be out there, but was trying to run out there. Like, hey, we're short. I'll get the hell out there. Then he realized he was going to be offsides because he wasn't going to get across the line of scrimmage in time. So he may have been the smartest guy. We don't know how that got screwed up. I think it also speaks to the fact that it's tough to count how many guys are on the field. When you're out on the field, you got assignments, you got things, you got keys, you got to look at where they're coming out of the huddle, where they're lining up. You know, the kick returner, the punt returner back there, counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's great, and that works in returning punts. It doesn't necessarily work when you're out on the field playing defense. So,
especially in your own end zone.
I think it just speaks to, again, I say it a lot of times, we talk about it with clock management a lot. But every snap of the football, there's a lot of crap going on out there on the field. It's as many men being coordinated, being as hands-on coordinated as any sport in the world. There are 11 guys out on a soccer field, but you're not giving all of them a different assignment every 30 seconds. Okay? It is a feel and motion game. Same thing with basketball. Basketball is a little more plays. There's just so much going on. I think we need to keep in mind how complicated everything is. Listen, thanks to everybody here at Gomers. They do a phenomenal job here at 39th and Broadway. And thanks to everybody at Jim Beam, the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. Come on down here to Gomers, 39th and Broadway, and sample the Jim Beam flavors.
Jed Marshall.
I'm outro. Call me if you want to blaze one up.
Curtis Siebold.
Curtis Siebold, show killer.
So, Ren Petro.
I can't decide between a fat joke and a dumb joke. Boom, roasted.
WHB.